Good evening, Matt. How are you doing?
I am well, as usual. How about you?
I am very well, except for the nosebleed that got started because I got so excited seeing you that my nose started bleeding, talking about business ideas and how to grow the business.
Yeah, I tend to have that effect on people. If you ever meet me in public, just make sure you got a tissue. Your nose might bleed.
Yeah, I'm excited to see you because last week we started chatting about how to get this bus going, how to move the bus forward since it's not running so well. The following day, I fix a really gnarly issue that has been plaguing SurveyBot for a long time. And I think that's the benefit of having someone to talk to, right? Being able to remove yourself from a situation. There's so many benefits from not having to execute and make this decision at the same time. Having that gap, right? The gap between deciding on something and executing on something so that you have complete focus while you're executing and you have complete clarity when you're making a decision is so beneficial. So thank you.
No worries at all. And I think it happened pre-podcast recording this time as well. We had some good discussions and kind of outlined some next steps for you. And from my perspective, it's great to see that you were able to kind of put what we spoke about into practice and add the logs into your application, which immediately brought value and helped you identify where some of the issues in the application, you know, laid. And this week it's about fixing those things. So, you know, stopping the leak is great. And I think, these conversations, like you say, just having that rubber duck, somebody to bounce some ideas off and thoughts off of is super valuable. Yeah, we will continue to do it.
Yeah. So as we're continuing on, I just want to give you an update. Apart from that nagging issue that was fixed last week, tomorrow, I've set up I've set up a meeting with a friend who's also a SaaS founder. During COVID, I mean, I stopped seeing anybody. I used to go to this, I used to co-organize a meetup for indie hackers in Toronto. So we haven't met up for close to 2 years at this point. People are starting to get back into meeting up. So I'm going to meet up with a friend who has a very, very successful affiliate business as well as started a SaaS a couple years ago. Yeah, so I'm going to just have a jam session with him and just talk about marketing. So he's more of an SEO guy. He's a software developer, but he's really good at SEO marketing as well as creating content on YouTube. So I'm going to do exactly the same thing that I did with you, but with this friend, but on the marketing and sales side.
Yeah, that'll be super valuable. And I hope you take a lot of notes and bring back the advice to us. And I think we've spoken a little bit about this. Like once we've got through like a lot of these kind of leaky holes and we fixed, you know, the bus is starting to move and we're doing our journey across country, like at that point, it's a good time for your application to start, you know, letting people onto the bus or at least filling up the bus. There might be some people in the back row, but you want the whole bus full. And, you know, using that analogy, it's like that's where your sales and marketing will come into play and you'll start getting more people on for the ride. And there's so many different tactics and things. And you mentioned YouTube and SEO, and those are two very effective channels that I've been able to use in the past to get customers into the different things that I've been promoting. So yeah, super interested to hear about how that goes. And like on the point of meeting up with people, it's a great thing. And anytime you can get into the same room as an expert in like a certain field or a certain discipline, you should take that opportunity. And now that COVID's kind of easing off and people are becoming more comfortable, I know that in my industry, in the WordPress space, they're starting to do meetups again. So like actual physical meetups, it's been like Zoom meetups for the last 2 years now. But next year there's a big WordCamp Europe and then there'll be a WordCamp US and it's all in-person meetups. So I'm super excited to fly out to those events to get to, you know, meet other people in my space, connect, see how we can help each other out. And yeah, just have that kind of one-on-one physical time with people to discuss ideas and things.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So anything happening on your side? Are you putting up a for sale sign? Like when do you expect that letter of intent to be signed? When's your listing going up?
You are putting good pressure on me because I need pressure. Not because I've been lazy, but because my focus has been elsewhere in this last 2 weeks. I mentioned a little bit of it in the previous week, but I'm like realistically thinking Q1 next year is when I will have a deal done. I've done some prep work. I've done the financials. I've started writing some of the product, like the description things that I need for the different listings and stuff. So like I'm making progress, albeit quite slow progress. But before the end of this year, it'll definitely be on a marketplace. And I'm hoping that a deal will get done in Q1. So the reason why it's been slow is I've had to take like a bit of a step back over the last 2 weeks and kind of reevaluate my current situation, because I've heavily been feeling like I'm extremely tired. I've got a lot of brain fog. I've lost a lot of passion for what I'm doing. And, you know, software development has become a chore and not a passion. And it's always been a passion, other than, you know, various bouts of that I've had. And it's very clear to me because I've been able to learn how to identify burnout. So I've been very burnt out. And I realized that if I continue with status quo for the next year, I'm going to get into a position where it will not be very good for me. So I need to make some changes to my situation. Trying to take on too much. I'm not spending enough time relaxing. You know, my head is in so many different places at once. I've, over the last 2 weeks, kind of have been replanning my 2022 and what I'm going to do. And there's a lot of things that play around that, specifically around renegotiating contracts. So I think most of our listeners would know by now that I do contract WordPress development for companies in the enterprise space. And I have a contract, a long-term contract with the company, and it's been a great contract. It's been on the 15th of December. It'll be my 6th year of this same contract. It's the longest I've ever been involved in one thing. You know, I've got a lot of passions outside of software development, and I've been ignoring a lot of those, and I need to kind of get back into some of that stuff. But on the work side, like I said, I'm looking to renegotiate my contract so that I only spend 1 or 2 days a week on that contract instead of 5 days a week. And that'll open 3 days a week up for me to work on my own products, like we talk about on this podcast, but also to do stuff that I enjoy and kind of just take a break and to get over the burnout that I'm feeling and start just becoming myself again in a lot of ways. And burnout, you know, unfortunately spills over into other areas. It's not just work. It's a whole bunch of stuff. So yeah, that's like been my focus. And I've been thinking about the next year and like how I'm going to approach it. So the one thing is a renegotiation of the contract. But the other thing that I'm quite excited about is if any of our listeners, or maybe you, Johnny, follow Daniel Vassallo, and I think that's how you pronounce his name, on Twitter. He's got this kind of strategy in how he approaches his business and I suppose life actually, in how he does these kind of small bets and how he takes small bets, multiple different small bets. I've been reading a little bit about his strategy around that. I want to go deeper into it because I've, you know, mostly just read his tweets. I know that he's got a course around it, which I'm quite keen to do and might try and roll for. But I'm thinking of applying a similar strategy to my 2022, where I've got these 3 extra days outside of my contract work. I'm going to sell WP Discussion Board. So it's kind of a case of what's next. And I've spoken a little bit about this new WordPress e-commerce play that I'm working on. And that will be one of my bets. But I want to kind of spread the risk a little bit and start working on other things that interest me. So I think, you know, potentially even content sites, maybe even courses. There's a lot of different things that I've been interested in over the past couple of years and just kind of not got around to. And that might be my approach to next year, is to kind of maybe even take one bet a month. So do like 12 months and just build multiple different things and see how it goes and see which of those small bets gain traction and then maybe even double down on those bets. That's kind of my current thinking. Actually, I'm more than excited about it because I feel like it will give me a good balance between like contract commitments and then my own thing. And having that balance will, I believe, keep me more sane, less stressed, less anxiety, less burnout, less brain fog. I'll be able to spend more time on things that I'm really passionate about and that I've been ignoring for a long time. So, yeah.
That's super interesting. Yeah. So Daniel is someone that I also follow on Twitter. I really like his stuff. It's sort of like taking the entrepreneur approach, but putting it a different spin on it by not just focusing on one thing. And he even does like physical products. So one thing I saw on Twitter was he was selling cutting boards.
Not just cutting boards, $500 cutting boards. It's like, wow.
Yeah. He has a couple of courses, I believe, and some PDF that he sells to teach people how to grow their audience on Twitter.
That's actually a video course, that Twitter one. I bought it and it was super useful. It's like a, I want to say like 1 hour 40 video. And that's the whole course, but there's so much value packed into that one, like it's almost like a screen recording of himself. And he sells it for, I don't know what it goes for, but I bought it and super valuable.
I also bought it because I saw your face on his website. I think you gave one of the testimonials or something.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah. That was before we started this podcast. We were still chatting. You know who I was. And I was like, oh, interesting. This guy looks like very familiar, saying good things about Daniel's course.
That is so interesting because I've never really interacted with him. I think I've had one kind of Twitter thread. I know that I did post so when I did the course, I created a bunch of Twitter threads based on the advice that he's given, and they blew up. Like they went viral and I was getting like retweets and comments and everything. So I said, hey, you know, Daniel, check out my engagement numbers. And I sent him a screenshot. I'm like, thanks for your course. And he obviously picked that up and used it as a testimonial.
Yeah. So at least it's created one sale. So the interesting thing is, like, I think most people would wonder, how does this work? Because I follow his content, but I wouldn't know exactly how this would work when you divide your time to work on chopping boards, books. Well, I guess for books, you can just write them and then kind of just put them up on Gumroad. And then SaaS, right? SaaS is a thing that kind of constantly requires, you know, support. WordPress plugins is the same thing, right? So how do you plan to execute this?
That's a great question. And just before I answer that, I'm still on his website. I just checked it. I'm very proud of that. I got a testimonial on his website. That is a great question. And I think it works for certain, like these small bets work for certain things, certain types of products, and may not work quite as well for other products. And again, this is just not based on any kind of testing or any kind of scientific fact or anything that I've been able to kind of execute on. But I think it's going to be a lot harder with software, because software is not something that you can build and have an endpoint and then sell. Software is something that's ongoing. Whereas an ebook, you write it and then you sell it, right? Like this endpoint. You might get a few questions that you can need to answer on email, but it's like there's a definitive start and endpoint to creating that product. The same with the chopping board. You start it and you end it and then you sell it. Software is a lot more complex, and especially in the WordPress world, like it's burdensome because of the support. But hey, like if it does well enough. So I think like for me, it's going to be a case of if I see traction, I double down and I spend a lot more time marketing it and hopefully get it to the point where I can hire somebody to take over the support requirements for the software. That's kind of ideal situation. If I maybe build a piece of software that is not as popular, maybe I let it go or I sell it. I could, you know, something that you could sell or micro acquire.
What would be your first product? Is it a book? Is it a video course? Is it a series of tweets that turns into NFTs?
I've got a few ideas, and I actually wrote them down in my diary that I don't have with me right now.
I mean, you don't have to give out any secrets. I think the most interesting bits is, how does one person accomplish, you know, so many different things in a short period of time and can keep it going? I can even think of like cutting boards, right? Like people will send them emails about like, when's the next batch coming? Can we have, you know, bigger ones, smaller ones, like custom requests? I don't know, right? Like just handling context switching feels a burdensome.
I don't think you said in such a small period of time. I don't think it has to be such a small period of time. My idea is to do one bet a month. I've got like, let's say 12 months in the year. So at the end of the year, I'll have 12 bets. And the ones that don't gain traction, I'll shut down. And the ones that do, I'll try double down on. So that would be my strategy. In terms of like what I work on, there's definitely content sites. I would like to do a course. I'd like to write a few WooCommerce plugins. even though I've just mentioned that it probably being something that may not work as well. But hey, like, you can't say that unless you actually try it. One of the funner ones that I want to do is I do a lot of wildlife photography. So I want to start printing some of my photography on canvases and selling it on like a small e-commerce store and see if I get any interest in that. I've got a lot of different ideas. I don't know what would be the first. Actually, I do know what would be the first. It would be a WooCommerce plugin, because that's kind of the quickest road to success. And then the second thing would be a content site or a course.
Very nice. So we look forward to following that part of the journey and seeing how a person can support multiple things at the same time while doing the contract work, and see how you would be able to balance between all the different projects.
And again, the whole idea of next year for me is to relax and not burn out. So I'm hoping that the strategy doesn't backfire. I give myself 12 different things to do, and then I'm like just so stressed. But I'll make a conscious decision to kind of, if I feel like something's stressing me out, to let it go. One of the cool things that I want to do over the December period, so this is kind of small bet zero, because it's not really a bet, it's just something that I want to do, is I want to finish building my outside office pod. I don't know if I've ever spoken about this on the podcast. I may or may not have. I'm currently in an office space that's kind of a guest bedroom, and it's not very comfortable. Kids come in and out of here, and it's right off of the main lounge area of the house. So I am building like a 3 meter by 2.4 meter outside office pod. I've laid 6 blocks for a foundation, and that's like as far as I got. So my December project, I'm taking a month off in December, just to, again, as part of my reset process. And I'm going to build this office pod and hopefully document it on my YouTube channel. It's kind of my in the zone workspace where like no kids are welcome, and I can actually get stuff done in there. And it's in the garden with a nice view. Even we've got a mountain view outside of our backyard, so I'll be able to see the mountains, the birds, the trees, flowers, swim, nice blue swimming pool. And I think it'll be great. So that's project zero for me in December.
Oh, that's great. Because I think during COVID, at least in North America, people were stuck at home. They have to work from home. And people started building these sheds, but they're like really nice kind of detached office space where anybody who has a backyard can build, right? And I think even some people turned that into a business opportunity. I don't know exactly the company name, but I think there would be a lot of demand, I could imagine, when you're stuck at home with kids kind of running around screaming like crazy. You'd want to have your own space. I think in different cities or municipalities are different building codes, so you can't just kind of just DIY and do it yourself that easily, at least in some communities. That's why there are these people setting up shop to build these things, put it in your backyard. Yeah, so maybe even that could turn into a business model.
I was just about to say, you just gave me a great idea. This could be one of my bets. Like, let me build the thing. And if it works out quite nicely and it's like a nice space, it's like, hey, I can see if anybody locally wants one of these structures in their backyard and sell it. And yeah, I mean, the profit margins on something like that would be pretty good. And yeah, that's a great idea. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use it as one of my bets, and I'm going to build it, finish it, make it look really nice. And I'll do a local, a Facebook post on our local community. So, hey, I'm selling these. Anybody want one?
I think sometimes you'll be surprised, like, maybe the thing that you thought would be the most popular or the biggest business opportunity turned out to be, you know, so-so. And something that you're just doing it as a side, as a hobby, because we've discovered those stories, yeah, right, during COVID, where I think someone was doing some cheese board delivery just within a very, very small neighborhood. I think she turned it into a full-time business. I think I read somewhere so she started doing Instagram, and then more and more people started wanting to order her cheese board. And yeah, and then she got a space to do it. It's great. You hear a ton of these stories like that during COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here locally. A lot of small business spun out of COVID. Unfortunately, a lot of small business got crushed by COVID on the flip side of that. But yeah, as long as you're always looking for the opportunity, there's a market for a lot of different things, whether it's cheese boards or office pods. People are willing to spend money on these types of things.
So yeah, let's talk about what we're going to ship next week, since it was, I consider a super successful week last week, having clarity after chatting with you and having to deliver the logging V1 system where I could finally get a handle on the issue that I've been fighting with because it's very like event-based. So for next week, I would want to put in a fix. Literally, this is like a one-line fix. I should be able to do it, finish it right now. I want to fix this issue where there's a duplicate in the surveys where our user would interact with the bot and they would say that the survey has been finished. And it's because right now I've discovered there's a duplicate, so I'm just going to put in this fix. And at the same time, there are a couple of smaller issues that I'd like to complete. Because of having logging, now I have visibility and I can go in and finally fix some of these issues. So there are probably like three smaller issues like that. So I'm committing to just squashing them and just slowly but surely turning this into a well-oiled machine like we mentioned last week.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to hearing of that fix next week and then moving on to the next one.
Yeah, I'm getting in a groove too, right? Like after I finish a fix, there's like an endorphin hit because I would finish it and then I'll send you a screenshot, right? Because we just talked about this, you know, the day before, now it's completed, now that gets crossed off my list, and it's easier to focus that way versus just kind of having a ton of issues. But there's also another thing that I committed to doing last week, which was successful, which I'll continue to do, which was we mentioned that customer support was sometimes, you know, I might not get anything. Sometimes I'll get these like gnarly issues where I go in and try to navigate to solve them right away. And it kind of breaks up my day. So what I did was focus work. So I don't check email the first 3 hours. And I just go in and try to just do the focus work, which I have in front of me. And that was successful last week.
Cool. How did you find your days kind of playing out? Did you find that you were able to get that like real good focus in that, almost did you get into a flow state in that first few hours of the day by doing this?
Yeah, I mean, on the good days, yeah, you definitely get into flow. Even on the bad days, I would say you committed yourself. And let's say you're trying to resolve something and you weren't able to resolve it, at least you can move on and feel there's some commitment to it, right? So you're just trying to get better every single day. You're not expecting perfection, but you're just trying to take that next step every single day, right? And on those bad days, it might be, you know, just a tiny little half step or quarter step, but that's fine. At least you took a step and you know that tomorrow is coming, so you can try to take a bigger step the next day, right? So that gets a lot of like mental burden off my head, I guess.
Yeah. It's kind of just making progress one step at a time. And over time, it adds up. It's more the feeling that you get from progress. Even if you didn't do something that was like this kind of big breakthrough, it's just the feeling that, hey, you've actually done something towards it and you've moved forward and you've taken another step towards like this destination. I think that it's always a good positive feeling that helps out for the next day, and it, you know, builds up and you eventually, it just becomes your thing.
So what about you?
Yeah, my next week will be spent again, just continuing to tee up next year and my plans and negotiate, finishing off the negotiation of contracts and things like that. For me, it feels like the most important thing that I should be focused on right now, but not neglecting the sale of WP Discussion Board that I have spoken about for so many weeks now, and a little bit embarrassingly so. I need to get that teed up. So yeah, I will continue to make progress and hopefully have it ready to go onto a marketplace in the next week or two.
Yeah, just while you were talking about WP Discussion Board, I think one, there may be other people are doing it, but I think WordPress is something that a lot of people talk about and they might have some interaction with, right? Either as an editor or as someone who is trying to throw together, you know, a website for, I don't know, a small business. So it's something that people kind of know about, but they don't know the ins and outs of a plugin, how to create one. Personally, I think it would be interesting if you were to build that WooCommerce or maybe something similar to WP Discussion Board, some kind of WordPress plugin. And if you document that and teach me how to do it, it will be a course that I'll be interested in purchasing.
I've thought about exactly this as one of my small bets in thinking about creating courses. So I can essentially just document the building of a plugin that I'm actually going to build to sell and talk about how it's built and the decisions around building the thing, the architecture and all the good stuff that comes with it. I'm going to do it anyway, whether I build it into a product or not. So I might as well build it into a product because it's something that I could, it's like an extra thing that you can gain from building one thing. You know, essentially you kind of actually only doing one thing, but you get, you know, two different sets of value from it. So I'm going to be building a plugin. I might as well document the process and create a course out of it and start selling that course. And, you know, even better, if the plugin that I built starts doing well and I can use that as a profile for the course to say, hey, look at this plugin. Now, you know, within 3 months, we've started generating good revenue. And, you know, then you can even create a second course out of it, like how to market your WooCommerce plugin. So there's lots of like kind of symbiotic relationships between what I'm going to be doing next year in terms of, you know, doing one thing and getting multiple different bets out of it, actually. Multiple bets out of a single process activity that I do.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. I wonder what I could do as well, because I read a lot of different things. I just like to learn. And sometimes I wonder whether I could turn those learnings into something I can publish. And the goal is not to sell for the revenue, but the goal is to sort of test the market to see where interest lies these days, as well as to solidify your own understanding as you're learning something, because you're trying to present it to someone new. That's a great way to really test your understanding of something, right? Is to teach other people.
Well, if Daniel Vassallo can create a 1 hour, 40 minute video screencast of himself teaching Twitter and make, I believe, over $100,000 from that single course, then I believe that it's possible for anybody to do. So, and sometimes we overthink these things. Like when I think of courses, I think like, oh my gosh, okay, you know, it needs to be this official thing and it needs a learning management system around it. And then when I went through Daniel Vassallo's course for Twitter, it was literally just a screencast video that was being sold. I'm like, okay, it doesn't have to be this complicated thing. It's like, look for opportunities in what you're doing every day to build out courses and share knowledge, share stuff that you know that's like commonplace for you, but for somebody else, it might not be that obvious or they might not know how to do it. And every one of those kind of things, activities that you do that can be created into a course is an opportunity. And it doesn't have to be this in-depth, like 10 modules with
worksheets and quizzes.
Yeah, and the crazy material, it can be a 1 hour, 40 minute video that you sell for $25 on Gumroad. You don't even need to do your own payment processing. You can use something like Gumroad. So I'm definitely going to be keeping like a keen eye open for those kind of opportunities. And I think there's going to be a lot of them. And again, that's the strategy of small bets, trying different things. Like, what's the worst that can happen? You don't sell any copies. Oh, well, it was a good try.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like selling is not the primary goal. It's more about organizing the knowledge that you've picked up and gather people, I guess, gather people that are interested in the same topic. But I think we've overlooked something, right? Which is Daniel sold, I don't know how many thousands of copies, but he already had an audience. So it's also unfair at the same time, right? To say that anybody can just kind of talk in front of a camera for an hour and 25 minutes and expect, you know, 100K sales. I think it's not as simple as that either, right?
Well, I think it's a pretty simple process in terms of building an audience. Like step one is to build an audience. So that's like a general thing, like whether you want to sell courses or software or whatever, like having an audience gives you like a massive leg up. So again, it's one of those things that takes a bit of time and effort. But if you go through Daniel's course, like it's quite straightforward in terms of what you need to do. So if you do that, you build an audience. Like I've got a pretty active Twitter following. I mean, I think it's 1,250 people, something like that, that follow me. And when I tweet stuff, I get generally quite good responses. So there's an audience that I could tweet to and promote something with. And I could grow on that. And my intention next year is to continue to grow an audience because I think it's valuable. I think it's valuable to A, share knowledge, to show yourself progress. So it's a nice kind of track record of what you've been doing, but other people get value out of what you share as well. And generally people that would be willing to try your products and are interested in your progress just as much as you are interested in it. So I think it's a good strategy. And when he started the Twitter course, he was getting quite popular at the time, but it wasn't like hundreds of thousands of people that he had. You know, he had maybe 10,000 or so, which is not unattainable for anybody to kind of build up their kind of Twitter following too. And Twitter's, what I found is, it's probably one of the more useful social networks. I've turned off Facebook, and I've just deleted the apps and I don't go on it anymore. And I've done the same for Instagram. That's the biggest waste of time for me, to be like scrolling through these social networks. But Twitter's the one that I didn't turn off, even though I don't go on it that often. My intention for next year is to spend more time on it, sharing my journey. And I get so much value about, you know, every time I go on reading some tweets from people I follow. And I only follow about 100 people. So it's a manageable amount of people to follow. And yeah, there's always a lot of like golden gems that I find every time that I go on, and some great threads and things.
Come on, Matt. You're not going to join Mark's metaverse?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I found something like super interesting. So a friend sent me like a spoof of that promotion of the metaverse. It was done by like some kind of Icelandic studio. I'm going to post in the show notes. It's like one of the funniest things I've seen recently.
Okay. Sounds interesting.
All right. So time's up. Let's wrap this. Show notes can be found on buygrowrepeat.com. I am Johnny Tong on Twitter, and Matt is Matt Jerry. This episode is edited by our good friend in the Netherlands, Rory Jonkerkau. You can find his Instagram on @RadioRory. See you next week.